I can't even begin to imagine what it would take for God to turn my marriage around. I mean, it's just beyond me. What do you do with something that overwhelms you so deeply and so powerfully, and you throw up your arms and say, who am I to change it, God?
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Jobe, and I just want to remind you that God can use you. You know, sometimes people think that God just uses pastors or preachers or missionaries or prophets or singers, but I believe that any life that is willing to be yielded to God, God can use. In fact, as we study the book of Nehemiah, the interesting thing is that there were three groups of people that led exiles back to Jerusalem to try to rebuild the city and rebuild the temple. The first was Zerubbabel, and he was a prince. He was a descendant of David, and he went there and started the work in rebuilding the temple and tried to rebuild the walls, but was unable to do that. Then Ezra, the prophet, also went to Jerusalem with the backing of the king and took some people there, some resources there. And he spent several years trying to rebuild the city and rebuild the temple within the city, the spiritual temple within the city. In fact, people were so renewed by it that they tried to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, but they were stopped in their tracks. And finally, although a prince tried and a prophet tried, finally God raised up Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was basically a lay person, a professional person. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a prophet. He was just a good administrator with a burden on his heart. He was working in the secular world, so to speak, and God laid a burden on his heart that he responded to. And under Nehemiah's leadership, this city that had lay in ruins for 141 years was rebuilt by one man who had no Bible training and wasn't a prophet and wasn't a priest, but was a man with a burden, and he rebuilt the city of Jerusalem, and it was that city that eventually Jesus would come to, and it would have his ministry, and he prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah. So I want to remind you that regardless of what field you work in, God can use any person that's willing to yield and respond to the burden he places on their heart.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Let's get right into the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Owning the Ruins. It's from our current series called Rebuild, Your Life, Your City, Your World. Our text will be found in the first chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
He sees Jerusalem, and he sees the condition of their heart. Now, they've been there for a lot like that for a long time, but he sees it in a fresh way, and his heart is so burdened that Jesus the Messiah begins to weep over the condition of his city. The Apostle Paul, when he was in Athens on a missionary journey, he looked out over the city of Athens and he saw how much idolatry was there, and God stirred his heart and he had compassion and he was distressed over the condition of the city because he was awakened to what God wanted it to be. You see, when you begin to compare what God wants with what is, and you have a fresh vision of what God wants, you will weep over what exists when you know what God wants. You see, some of you in your very own lives, you look at your life. You've been living with a problem for a long time. You've been living with your backslidden, hard-hearted, insensitive, calloused heart for a long time. You've been that way for 6 or 7 years. You see, it doesn't bother you much. You know you're not where you're supposed to be. You know that you're not that close to God. You know that you're disobeying the laws and commands of God. You know that you've slidden away from the path that He had for you, that once you walked stronger in. But for some reason, it feels like your heart is numb. If you've ever been in a backslidden condition, you know that your heart sort of grows calloused and numb. And you can hear the word of God and it seems like it just bounces off your rubbery heart. You can hear words of challenge in other people's testimony. It just kind of slides off. It does nothing to your heart. Why? Because it's rubber hard. But then the day comes, a day like today, where you're in the Word, and you're in a place of worship, and the Spirit of God comes. And suddenly, God starts to do something, and there's a crack in the hardness of your heart. And you've been going along thinking you can go to church like every other day, thinking you can be backslidden that no one else notices, but suddenly, on a day like today, when the Holy Spirit of God shows up, and He begins to stir in a new way, and then suddenly you begin to get a vision of who God is. And you begin to see yourself in a mirror the way that God sees you. And you take your handkerchief of faith and you wipe the fog off the mirror that's been in front of you for so long as you look into the Word of God. And there, crystal clear, you see the image of who you've become. And you see the hardness of your heart and the brokenness of your life and how far you've slidden away from God, and suddenly it becomes fresh and new to you. You have a new burden for who you are, a new vision of what you should be, and nothing can stop you. It's a tragic moment of awakening. And you break and begin to cry and weep because you see who you really are and God, and what God really wants you to be. You see, that's what was happening to Nehemiah. Because in his heart he could see what God wanted Jerusalem to be, but it was not that way. Are you tracking with me this morning?
Amen.
Oh, because God wants to do something this morning. I want you to track. I want you to be with me. Because I believe, I prayed for this morning that God would begin to deposit new burdens. Some of you, it's for your life. Some of you, it's for your family. Some of you, it's for your neighborhood and a calling on your life. But I'm praying, oh God, do not let us get calloused. Oh God, do not let us live with indifference. Oh God, awaken us out of the numbness of apathy. Stir our hearts so we see fresh the vision of what you've called us to be. Number three, jot this down. As we process a burden before the Lord, we will discover the difference between a mere concern and a calling. You see, what did Nehemiah do when he had this burden? What do you do with a burden? What if you leave this place today and your heart is burdened and convicted? What if even right now, as the Word of God is speaking and the Holy Spirit is ministering, you start to get convicted over the Spirit of God? And God begins to speak to your heart about who you are and what you are and what you're doing and how you're living. God begins to speak to singles about the purity of their life. God begins to speak to men about their mind and their lust and the fidelity to their wives. God begins to speak to young people about their spiritual condition and their hunger for God and where they really should be spiritually. What do you do with the burden? What do you do with it? Well, the Bible says that Nehemiah, when he heard of this, it says, "For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." You say, well, how long did he mourn and fast? Well, it says he mourned and fasted from Kislev, the month of Kislev, to the month of Nisan. You say, well, Pastor, that doesn't help me very much. Basically, it's 3.5 to 4 months. 100 days. He got a burden in his heart. And he said, I don't know what to do with this burden. God, I need to pray. God, I need to pray. What do you do with a burden? What do you do with something that gets heavy upon you that you feel like I can't solve this on my own? What do you do with something that overwhelms you so deeply and so powerfully, and you throw up your arms and say, who am I to change it, God? I can't even begin to think of how to change my neighborhood. I can't even begin to imagine what it would take for God to turn my marriage around. I mean, it's just beyond me. I can't even envision How God would even work to turn my family and relatives and cousins around. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know where to go. God, it seems so impossible. Have you ever felt that way? What do you do with the burden? Let me tell you, if God has burdened you with something, some of you look at your own heart and you say, I don't even know where to start getting right. I mean, I've been this way so long, my heart's gotten so hard, I don't even know where to start to get things right again. I don't know how to soften my heart. I don't know how to get back the zeal of God. I don't know how to re-engage the passion for the things of God. I don't know how to hunger for the Word anymore. I don't know how to turn my heart around. I just don't know how to do it. It's got to be God because I can't do it on my own. What do you do with the burden? Let me tell you, you pray. You pray. You pray. You say, well, Pastor, I've tried praying. Oh, no. I'm not talking about mealtime prayer. God bless this food we're about to receive prayer. Or bedtime prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. Now I pray my soul to keep. I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about real prayer. I'm talking about prayer that gets a hold of your heart and soul. I'm talking about mourning and fasting prayer. I'm talking about a prayer that causes you to skip a meal. Some of you say, that'd be a real miracle if I skipped a meal for prayer. Yeah, I'm talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about the kind of prayer where you choose not to eat in order to pursue the heart of God. I'm talking about something that gets a hold of you so much that you're so intense, so eager about, that you mourn, that other people know something is going on. I'm talking about the kind of prayer like Nehemiah had. Oh, sure, he went to his job. Oh, sure, he fulfilled his duties. But he was driven to the presence of God with such a burden, so gripped by a burden of God, that he would fast, that he would pray, that he would find himself calling out to God, that he would kneel beside his bed at night, and he would say, oh God, do something. I will not live with this old problem anymore. God, I'm hanging on. God, I'm pressing through. I do not want to live this way anymore. I refuse to let go of your throne, God, until you do something about it. God, I will press in. Because this is not the way it should be, God. You have a different vision and a plan for this.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Owning the Ruins, which is from our series called Rebuild. Your life, your city, your world. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, and his message is called Owning the Ruins.
The Bible says that for 4 months, he fasted and prayed and sought God. You say, well, Pastor, what did he pray? Oh, well, we know what he prayed because his prayer is given to us right here. Let me just, without reading through the whole prayer, let me just give you a couple elements to this prayer. Because if you have a burden today and God is working in your heart today, let me tell you how to pray. Number one, I think there's four essentials. And number one, you need to have a sense of urgency that drives you to seek God. You see, if you're okay with your problem, if you think you can live with your problem, you're not going to be driven to God. Some of you are okay with your problem. Not that bad. Hey, you should have seen me before. Man, I was bad. Now I got it under control. You see, now it's every other weekend. But it was every weekend, man, I was bad. You know, every other weekend, a little partying, a little getting high, but not like real high. You know, slightly high. You know, see, now I'm not living that bad. You know, I'm half Christian. Oh, okay. So you're half Christian now, huh? Yeah, you know, I'm working on things. I'm sort of in there. You see, if you tolerate what you have, if you're okay with your problem, forget about it. You might as well get up and walk out because you won't change. No, Pastor, I kind of want to change. No. Kind of want to change won't cut it. You see, you have to be so touched by God, so sick of your problem, so desirous to change, that it's not I kind of want, but I am driven to change. I will not tolerate it, live with it, desire it, want it. I will not live with my problem in my house anymore. I will not make a room for my problem. My problem's getting evicted from my house because I don't want it in my house anymore. Amen. You see, you have to get that desperate, that mad, and drive you to seek God. The Nehemiah was urgent. It drove him to seek God. He said, God, be attentive to my prayer. I want you to hear me. The second thing that you'll see is a willingness to acknowledge our own faults and come clean. He says, I confess the sins of we Israelites, including myself and my father's house. You see, you have to take responsibility for what you are responsible for. Stop blaming your wife and your husband and your cousin and your sister and your uncle and the neighbor and the alderman and the mayor and the president and the economy and your ancestors and the weather and the Sox and the Cubs. Stop blaming them. Take responsibility for what you are responsible for. And if you've sinned, you need to say, I have sinned against you, O God. And I take responsibility for my sin, God. And I repent of it, Father. And I do not cast the blame. Nehemiah wasn't even there 141 years ago when God decided to judge Jerusalem. But he said, my forefathers have sinned. And God, yes, I have sinned as well. You see, he took responsibility. He wanted to come clean before God could really work in his life. Number three, verses 8 through 10. There also needs to be an understanding of the promises of God, an understanding and a trust in the promises. He begins to quote Scripture to God. Hey, have you ever quoted Scripture to God? Is it okay to quote Scripture to God? Of course it is. You say, well, he already knows Scripture. Why should I quote Scripture to him? He's the one that said it. But what you're doing is you're reminding God of what he's already said. And you're letting God know, God, I know what you said and I trust what you said. It's like if you're a teenager and your parent has said, hey, if you do this, I will do that as well. And when they do that, they say, hey, Dad, remember you said you were going to do that? I'm just remind you of what you said. You see, you need to quote the promises of God, not because God forgot his promise, but because your heart needs to be strengthened by the promises of God. You need to begin to stand on the promises. Know the word. Know what God is speaking to your life. Know that God says that if you draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto you. That's what God says. That if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what God says. That God is near to a broken and contrite heart. He will not despise those that are broken and contrite before him. That's what God says. You need to say, God, here I am. You said, Lord, that you'd be close if I called on you. If I broke, if I confessed. God, you have said that. Now hear my prayer. And then lastly, and I close with this. Ask for boldness and success and favor if he leads you to step out in faith. He says, oh Lord, let your ear be attentive to my prayer in verse 11. The prayer of your servant and the prayers of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. You see, once God has spoken to your heart, it was in this time of prayer that Nehemiah gained a vision of what he was going to do. You see, some of you just have a burden right now, but you don't know what to do about it because you haven't prayed about it. But it's in your time of prayer that God will give you a clear vision of what you are to do. Are you tracking me? Some of you don't know what to do because some of you haven't prayed about it, and so you have no clear vision. All you have is a burden. You need to start taking that burden to God and say, God, give me a vision of what I should do. And then when God has given you a vision of what you should do, you need to get up off your knees, dust yourself off, and say, oh God, now grant me favor and success in what you put in my heart to do. You see, if you just keep praying and praying and don't do anything about it, then you've missed the mark. But if you try to do something and haven't prayed, then you'll also miss the mark because you won't do what God wants you to do. You need to pray, and in prayer, get the vision, and then ask God for the boldness and the power to take the steps. Hello. Amen. That's what God is calling us to do. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to stand right now. Oh, yes, God. Oh, Spirit of the living God. Oh, God, yes. You see, I believe the Spirit of God is here today. And some of you, He's saying, I don't want you to live with this old problem. I don't want you to live with this old problem. I want you to evict this problem from your house, from your marriage, from your neighborhood. I want you to evict this problem. I don't want you to live with it. I don't want you to accept it. I don't want you to get comfortable with it. I want you to buy a chair so it can sit in. I want you to do something about it. I want you to get a vision of what I'm calling it to be, become. I want you to let that burden simmer inside of you. Let my Spirit get a hold of you in such a way that I start changing you and giving you the power to take the steps of courage that you need to take. God is speaking to some of you about it. So here's what I'm going to ask. There are some of you here. There may be some of you here that the burden that you have on your heart is to get right with God because you are not right with God. For those of you, if you're not a believer and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's called conviction. It's God's grace given to you to convict you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm here, but I don't know if I'm a believer or a follower of Jesus. I don't even know if I'm a real Christian today. But there's something inside of me saying I need to do something about it. I call it conviction of the Holy Spirit, drawing you to Himself. You'll never change unless you first of all come to God and let God begin to change you. And some of you, the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart even today, saying today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to give your life to me. Today is the day to acknowledge me as Lord and Savior. Today is the day to take your hands off the wheel of your life and say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I repent. I confess you as Lord. I give my life to you. I no longer am my own. Come, save me, cleanse me, wash me, indwell me with your Holy Spirit. Some of you need to take that step this morning. And then there's others of you here today that you're already believers. But you know what? You're living with the problem. You've made a room for your problem. And God is awakening you up and saying, you know, enough, 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 enough. Stop accepting and living with your problem. Awaken your spirit to deal with your problem. Take that burden. Go to God in prayer. Pray until you have a clear vision of what you should do. Then get off your knees, dust your pants off, and say, in Jesus' name, I will obey. In Jesus' name, God, grant me favor and grace to be bold enough to do something about it, God. Not to live with it, Lord, but to do something about it in your name.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago, and this was the second half of his message called Owning the Ruins, which is part of our series called Rebuild, Your Life, Your City, Your World. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.